It is 163 days until the October 20th, 2018 Vancouver municipal election. This is Canby Report. I'm Ian Bushfield. Today, we really, really didn't mean to do another episode, but news breaks fast, apparently, in Vancouver politics. And here we are with our second bonus episode this week and our third episode in a week. If this is too much content for you, if we're coming at you too fast with too much, just let us know on Twitter, on Facebook, email us at Canby Report or canbyreport@gmail.com and tell us you only want to hear us every 2 weeks, every week. We're really curious to know how much is too much. The reason we're coming back to you today is today, Kennedy Stewart, current member of parliament for Burnaby South, announced his mayoral bid. I was there with Matthew Naylor, and we managed to get a recording of the session. The live stream is up on our Twitter in two parts. I missed a little bit when my phone froze up, so unfortunately that's not there. But we're going to play you the intro that Kennedy Stewart gave. I'll play as well the question, some of the questions that I and Matthew asked at the press conference. The full press was there, and Kennedy was willing to stand there and answer as many questions as long as he could. The whole thing ended up being about half an hour. After that, Matthew and I did a quick couple-minute debrief, which we'll include at the end of the show. And then I sat down with Mario Canseco this afternoon to talk a bit about the state of this race, what his thoughts are on the polling implications of the NPA breakup, as it were, where Kennedy Stewart stands, as well as a couple new numbers he's got out. So stay around for that. And we'll see you the next time we sit down to record.
Today I'm kicking off my campaign to become the next mayor of Vancouver. This is a really exciting day for me. I'm totally stoked. I'm pumped. I'm running for Vancouver because I believe that by working together, we can make Vancouver more affordable. Now my wife Jeanette, who is here today, and I live in this city. We love this city. And I wanted to make it a more equitable place to live, work, and to play. Now, everybody in the whole world knows that Vancouver's in a housing crisis. But you know, it doesn't have to be like this. When I moved here in 1989, I was able to work as a printing press operator. I used to drive a craft beer truck, but I was still able to rent a place in the West End or in Kitsilano or in East Vancouver. But now that's impossible. Not only is home ownership out of the reach of many, but just living here is a fading dream. We're all stressed out about thinking about housing costs in the city, and I think it's ruining our city. We need to work together to reverse this affordability crisis, and I hope the people of Vancouver will give me the mandate to take bold action. But of course, I'm not just running for mayor to make Vancouver housing more affordable. I also want to keep I want to ensure our economy continues to grow and works for everyone, not just a few. We have to get big money out of politics, and we have to get the lobbyists out of the back rooms of City Hall. Cities are not just for billionaires, they're for everyone, and we have to get back to this. But of course, growing our economy won't mean anything if we ruin our environment. And this means we have to do our part to tackle climate change. We also have to fight back against those who see our city as a place just to make profit and then leave us cleaning up the mess. So that's why I've done everything I can do to stop the Kinder Morgan pipeline and to protect our beautiful coast. Finally, there's the opioid crisis. It's really hard to say this, but we all know too that thousands have died, thousands of our neighbors have died under the most tragic circumstances. And we have to make it clear there are no throwaway lives. Now, there's plenty of talk in the media about how progressive forces in the city are fractured, and some say irreversibly so, but I don't think this is true at all. I believe progressive voters across Vancouver are united in our desire to keep the nonpartisan association out of City Hall. Make no mistake, the NPA stands for the same thing as the Harper Conservatives. They will make life worse for everyone but themselves. And I know this because I fought the Conservatives in Ottawa, and we don't need the politics of division here in our city. We need people who care. Now I'm running to be the next mayor of Vancouver because I've been overwhelmed by the messages I've received asking me to step forward. So I've had calls from renters whose housing costs are spiraling out of control and who are being, this is tragic, being dem-evicted from their homes to make way for luxury condos. I've had calls from those who have recently purchased homes and are struggling to make the mortgage payments and they're worried sick about increasing interest rates. I've had calls from businesses, from the tech sector, from the movie sector, small business, who are having a hard time finding employees due to the housing crunch, and they're worried they're going to have to leave the city. Finally, I've had calls from workers who are tired of traveling hours to get to their jobs. So I've heard these calls and I'm ready for this challenge. I'm ready to bring together progressives and keep the NPA at a city hall. I'm ready to make this city more affordable. I am ready to become Vancouver's next mayor. Now, before I take your questions, I'm also announcing today that I will be resigning from Parliament. This will be my last session in Ottawa. It has been a great honor to serve as MP since 2011 when I stood side by side with Jack Layton, the great Jack Layton, when we rode the Orange Wave and formed the first official NDP official opposition in Canadian history. But now I have my sights set on becoming the mayor of Vancouver, in which my wife and I live and love, and I'll work as hard as I can to make a great city even greater.
Did you have any idea you were going to run for mayor before Mario put your name in a poll?
Well, I have a long history with this city. Like I said, in 1995, I wrote my master's thesis on these politics. I've talked to a lot of you over the years about this. I write the textbook Local Government in Canada that's used in undergrad courses right across the country. So the cities have always been in the center place of my heart. But, again, the calls have been overwhelming, I'm in.
But back to Ian's question, I mean, were you considering it before your name popped up in that poll? And do you have any idea how your name got there?
I spoke with, of course, we're all involved here in the region. We're all concerned about coordinating and trying to tackle this housing crisis. So I had talked to a number of people that had thought about they were going to run for mayor or maybe not. And so just out of courtesy, I've been talking to them. But here I am today announcing my candidacy for mayor, and I'm totally excited about moving ahead.
You mentioned zoning just now. How do you imagine reforming Vancouver's zoning laws when you were mayor, if you had a majority, in order to help solve our housing affordability crisis?
Right, there's lots of options. I mean, I've studied this internationally, so you can't take policy from one place and just plunk it down in another place. But what you have to do is make sure it works for people, and that's the key. So that's what I'll do, and again, I'm just launching today, so I've got lots of people to talk with, but any changes have to work for people, and they have to actually help solve the problem.
What tools do you envision using as mayor of the city to stop the project?
Well, I actually think it's very close to being called off, for example, the federal government just said that they were going to enact legislation to assert paramountcy, and they've just also said now they're not doing that anymore. We've just had investors in Houston demand environmental assessments for all new projects, and if you watch their share prices after that announcement, it's dropped considerably. So, I do think this project is close to done. I'll be very relieved because it's been 7 years of fighting it, and then we can get on with different conversations and focus like a laser on housing.
So, we've just finished attending the Kennedy Stewart for Mayor announcement in Vancouver. Ian, what did you think of it?
It was kind of one of those worst-kept secrets. As soon as he announced he was having a press conference in Vancouver Lookout, everyone's going, all right, he's running for mayor. Now is he doing independent or vision?
I know, you could see all the way to the Burnaby riding he represents.
But
he does apparently live in downtown Vancouver.
He mentioned that a couple times. But during his opening statements, he interestingly refused to answer the first question that anyone wanted to ask, which is vision or independent. And it turns out independent, which was actually a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I kind of wonder why they were doing that. If vision was like trying to shove him into running for their nomination, and that's the reason why they had such a short nomination period. Like, if no one, it's tomorrow, right? Vision's deadline is tomorrow. So if, like, it seems like no one is going to run for the Vision mayoral spot.
They said they've had names express interest, maybe Raymond Louis, but Kennedy did say he's spoken to everyone. His ears are full of cauliflower from being on the phone for the last week.
I mean, that's just, I mean, get a headset, man, but...
So he didn't talk a lot about policies. He more talked about bringing people together, continuing on...
Boy, did he not talk about policies. I tell you. So he was asked a couple of questions about the housing affordability crisis, about zoning, about Kinder Morgan, about opioids.
And he's against Kinder Morgan. He was clear on that.
Yes.
Not how, but...
Not how. He's not clear on what tools he might use as mayor to oppose Kinder Morgan, but he's very against that and has, you know, wants to make sure that all the laws work for people, which was the milkest of toasts, in my opinion.
There was good turnout there. I mean, he's a prominent person. He's probably the most prominent person to put his name forward. He's got a bigger profile than even Hector Bremner, honestly.
Yeah. No, for sure. He is probably the biggest name in the race right now, depending on how big the Hector Bremner news story gets over the next couple of days. But, I think all things being equal, you could probably call him the front runner.
It was interesting to hear that he's resigning his parliament seat already, though. That's kind of putting all his eggs in this basket and really saying, I'm doing this, when the progressive parties haven't even sorted their shit out. So it might be a four-way race that he's stuck in now.
Yes, but on the plus side, the right has also descended into chaos. So apparently we're just doing podcasts all the time now, because why not?
Any other closing thoughts?
Nope. There was very little substance there other than, like, I'm running and Kinder Morgan is bad and I want to make things work for people.
And no strong criticisms for Vision.
No strong criticisms for Vision. No strong criticisms of the MPA other than that they don't belong in City
They're
Hall.
They're Harper types and we shouldn't elect them. But that's what the progressives want to hear.
Yeah. So, as expected, and interesting to see where this goes from here.
Yeah. We'll keep you updated.
Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy and we'll come out on top. Oops, there goes the opposition girl. Oops, there goes the opposition girl. Oops, there goes the opposition girl.
Mario Canseco, welcome back to Canby Report. It's a sunny afternoon, and we're apparently recording nonstop these days. I just got out of this press conference with Kennedy Stewart. But first, the big news earlier this week, before this, today's big news, was Hector Bremner's nomination being spiked from the NPA, as well as George Steeves. What's your sort of take on this? And then we can go from there.
Well, I think it definitely speaks of a fracturing of the center-right vote, which is problematic if you're an MPA supporter. 2 weeks ago, we were worried about a split from the left. What's going to happen if Adrian Carr runs, if Kennedy Stewart runs, if Vision has a candidate, if Cope decides to have a candidate, if One City decides to have a candidate, how can you win? And now the conversation seems to be shifting to a split from the right. Wai Young says she wants to run. Hector Bremner could consider running as an independent and not as an MPA candidate. There will be an MPA candidate. So you have that 40 to 45% of votes, which may be split among three people. And if you have so many candidates from the center left as well, we could be in a situation where the next mayor is supported by one in five voters.
And the ballot is the size of a blanket.
Ballot the size of a blanket, similar to the ones that we saw in Ukraine when Yushchenko ran for office. So it's definitely problematic. Now, the issue with Bremner's candidacy, and I think, you know, I've heard some of the sound bites and the idea that he signed up a bunch of members. This is a good way to win primary elections, but it doesn't mean that you have a movement that is capable of winning a citywide election. My favorite example of this would be, you look at the results of the Democratic primary in Oklahoma back in 2016, and Hillary Clinton gets 72% of the vote. It's very easy for her to go out there and say, there is a movement here. I got 72% of Democrats to vote for me. Yes, but you're a tiny minority compared to all the Republicans in Oklahoma. It doesn't put the state back in the map. It doesn't make you a more compelling candidate. It just means that the Democrats like you more, but we don't have enough Democrats in the state to win. And I think that's definitely part of the problem with Hector. It might be enough to win a primary, but is it enough to sustain that momentum and win a citywide election?
Your polling has found very high negatives for him.
He had stronger name recognition than most people, but it was also that challenge of him being a very polarizing figure, I guess.
Well, there's definitely part of it. One of the issues is there were a lot of people who were emotionally attached to the candidates that Hector defeated in the last by-election. And that definitely plays a role. I think, you know, people are learning their lesson of not having too many candidates from the center left, because it enables an NPA contender to win that race, which is what happened. But also, I think there's been questions about his activities as a lobbyist. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that in the situation that we have now with the anti-incumbent feeling, with the notions of developers owning City Hall, it's not the kind of situation that you want to have there. And I think that might have been one of the reasons for the NPA to say, can we sustain a campaign where this is going to be a question consistently, even if we have a committee say that everything was fine and that he wasn't dealing with anything that wasn't, you know, palatable for the voting public. It's still there.
So do you think that appetite you're basically talking about is this appetite for the Glenn Chernin type anti-elite campaign? Like, he's explicitly saying he's against the elites in City Hall. Do you think that is more than just like his own little kind of counter movement, or is it something that could propel him further?
Well, I guess it really depends on how he can connect on this. You know, he hasn't talked about housing a lot. There are people who feel a little bit slighted at the fact that he ran against the NPA before, that he had a political party that ran against the NPA. Now he's a member. He's talking about specific things that can appeal to some of the voters in areas of the city. Is that enough to win the election? Who knows? Because if you have so many candidates running, you could find a way for the NPA to hold on to, let's say, half of the people who voted for Kirk LaPointe the last time. That gives you 20% of the vote, which might be enough. And I think that's the calculation that they're making. If we can keep all of those votes from the last election, or most of them, it might be enough to defeat a fractured center-left, even if the center-right is also fractured.
Well, let's go to today's news with Kennedy Stewart coming forward. One of the things to run this independent mayoral bid, one of the things I asked him to get it in there was, had he considered running before he saw his name come up strongly in your poll, which was this, I guess, second to last poll, yeah, where he had fairly strong positives. Why did you put his name in the poll?
Well, he was all over the news. I think it was necessary. You know, we had when we did the first one, for instance, I thought about adding Raymond Louis, and Vision said they're not running a candidate. And then Vision said, well, we might run a candidate, so then you
and
add Raymond Louis.
Now they are,
Louis.
Maybe.
Right. So, you know, in the next one, maybe we'll have more names running as a Vision Vancouver mayor. I just did a quick glance of some of the news that was around, and I thought it was a good idea to add him, to add some other names as well. You know, people like Colleen Hardwick didn't say, hey, you know, I'm at 7%, let's do this. You know, I think it's a very personal decision in that sense. But ultimately, what's interesting about the way things have transpired over the past 48 hours is you have the outgoing mayor of Vancouver saying the Kinder Morgan pipeline will not be built because of the activism. Mm-hmm. And then you have Kennedy Stewart the next day saying, I want to run for mayor. So even though he's not running as a Vision contender, there's this symbiotic relationship there between a mayor that is, you know, has just a few months left and can say whatever he wants without any, you know, fear of repercussions from the electorate. And now you have somebody saying, well, we will talk about housing and cost of life, but if you're worried about this pipeline, vote for a guy who actually was willing to go to jail for it. So it's pretty interesting.
So did you find that the kind of people who liked Vision like Kennedy Stewart as a potential name?
Yes, the ones who know him. I think, you know, it's a little bit tougher because, you know, he's an MP from a different
sure.
jurisdiction. There's people who aren't aware of what he's done, or maybe they know what he's done, but they aren't necessarily connected to everything that he did municipally or even provincially before. I mean, he's been around for a while. He's been a professor. There's definitely people who are aware of his credentials. But at this stage in the game, I think he's trying to connect with that activist vote that is deeply concerned about the pipeline. Is that going to be enough to win the race? Again, if we have so many candidates and somebody can get to 20%, you know, that's an issue that we'll have to track independently. You know, if you have 20% of the people of Vancouver dead set strongly opposed to the pipeline, and all of them vote for Kennedy Stewart, then you have an interesting case to make that he could become mayor.
What else do we see on Vancouver's progressive side in terms of the support for possible one city council candidates, support for Cope, maybe still Gene Swanson? Have you looked much more beyond that?
Not yet. It's a tough one for council, particularly because what we saw is that people want to vote, or most of the people who voted for the center-left parties the last time around, are no longer in the partisan mindset. It's no longer going to be, I'm voting for everybody from Vision, and then one green, maybe one city, maybe one independent. And now you have so many compelling independents coming in, you know, Sarah Blith, Gene Swanson. People are telling us, you know, I want to spread the love around. You know, maybe there's somebody from the NPA who I really like, even if I don't like the NPA. And maybe there's somebody from Vision who I deeply despise and I don't want to vote for them. And there's a couple of other independents. Now, if most people vote that way, it'll make a lot of sense. But it also takes a lot of education. You know, the last two times that I voted in the municipal election, I've run into people who say I only voted for one councillor because I thought that was the way it went.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is, if you're going to make that conscious decision, and I remember asking about this after 2014, there were about 40% of people who said, I bring this little cheat sheet that tells me, okay, these are the names of the candidates I want to vote for because I don't want to get confused. And, you know, if we see a lot of people voting that way, we will be back to a situation like the one we had in the 70s and 80s where everybody's representing something different and you have to build that consensus and work almost like a Scandinavian country.
Well, so you've done a couple other releases in the last couple of weeks. You put out a release last week, I believe, on permanent resident voting. What did you find there?
Well, there's a high level of support for it. It was quite surprising. I thought it was going to be more like 50-50. And, you know, you do have almost 60% who said, let them vote. You know, these are people who are doing things in the city, paying taxes, following guidelines. There's also about 49% who say you shouldn't really be voting unless you swear allegiance to the country and what it stands for. I think part of the problem with this dichotomy, and you know, I certainly got a lot of love mail and hate mail out of that one, which is normal for the business that I'm into. But part of the problem is, should there be some sort of sunset clause? Do you want to have a permanent resident coming in here from whichever country they come in on the 18th of October? And then voting in an election on the 20th of October because they can. Are they informed about the issues in the city? So should you do it, you know, permanent resident for more than 2 years, more than a year? Do you take
Even for citizens, you have to be living in Vancouver for 6 months or a BC for 6 months. So
And you take the test. And it's weird because I went through this experience. You know, I came to Canada in 2000 and I became a permanent resident in 2004. And so there was an election in 2005 that I couldn't vote in.
Yeah.
And I considered myself very well versed in what was happening in that election. It's like, well, why can't I vote? But then you talk to other people in the similar circumstance in their lives, and they didn't know how the mayor was elected or whether there were parties. And these are the kinds of people who say, so you get a vote for prime minister and a vote for your MP, or how does that work?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of information that also goes with it. And I think watching the level of support from citizens who were permanent residents before and became citizens later, like myself, who are having those second thoughts. Well, maybe I wasn't really prepared to vote when I was a permanent resident, or most of my friends aren't really prepared to vote or weren't prepared to vote when they were permanent residents. So to me, that was the most striking finding, that the citizens of Canada who were born here are saying, yeah, this is a good idea. And the permanent residents who immigrated and then became citizens are saying, yeah, I'm not that convinced. I thought it was going to be the other way around. Yeah, give us the vote. Mm. It's more, no, I don't think we were ready.
Yeah. Was there any partisan divide on that?
Definitely. I think we saw people who voted for Gregor Robertson or Mina Wong in the last election were more likely to support this idea. People who voted for Kirk LaPointe and those over the age of 55, which is sort of the same way when you look at those columns, were more likely to say no to it.
And so the other poll you released is this question about campaign finance reforms. What did you find there?
Well, in a way, it was a bit disheartening because when we had the survey ready to launch, that's when the new regulations came in. So we had to
play the question was kind of mute.
Yeah, yeah. Mute. We had to play a little bit with the wording of the question because it was already happening. But I think there's an appetite for this. People are really happy with the idea of not having corporations and unions involved in the political side of things. And they definitely didn't like the way the NPA was painting this as, well, you know, we're not really spending it on the campaign, but we can still get some money and use it for operational expenses. The spirit of the law was being violated. And we do see, you know, 3 out of 5 residents saying, yes, this is not the way we want this to be. So there's definitely support for the way in which the BC government dealt with this. But there's still a little bit of a confusion left. You know, there's nothing stopping us tomorrow from forming the Bushfield Canseco Society for the Betterment of Humanity. and raising funds and having an ad on television that says we endorse these candidates. I mean, there's so many loopholes there that haven't been
the U.S. super PAC properly. Kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. You can turn it into some sort of super PAC. And, you know, one of the reasons for this situation with all the mayors who have decided not to run again, I think has a lot to do with this. You know, if you run a campaign 4 years ago with a war room that was fully prepared and everybody was happy, can you do this again on a budget that is going to be considerably smaller than the one you had? So I think this is why it's pushing the mayor of Delta, the mayor of Surrey, the mayor of North Vancouver to say, maybe this isn't right for me this time around.
Well, what's next? What can we expect coming up?
Well, I'm really curious to see what is going to happen with the unity movement. I think there's a couple of deadlines coming up. We need to see what happens with the Greens and Adrienne Carr. Does she want to run for office for the bigger office in the land? But, you know, it's a conundrum. You look at the situation with Diane Watts. You know, she thought she had a fairly stable way and a fairly good campaign, and she had brilliant people around her to become the next leader of the BC Liberals. So she quits her job as an MP in Ottawa, and now she's left with nothing. So, you know, part of the situation.
A lesson for Kennedy Stewart there.
Right. Well,
maybe.
Or for Adrienne Carr, if she decides to run for mayor after having been the top vote getter for council. I mean, this isn't. There are some American states where you can run for anything. You can run for senator and keep your job as mayor, or run for. It's just this bizarre rule. We don't have that here. You have to decide which kind of office you want to do. And, you know, it takes a lot of conversations. I think there's more than that unites the center-left parties at this stage than what divides them. But I think there's also human nature. If you see the opportunity to be the one with 30% of the vote, you're probably not likely to say, I'm going to step aside and allow a consensus candidate to come in.
What's next for Research Co?
Well, aside from this, we're going to be doing some national level polling. We've had a few clients come in, so it's been a very good month. I'm really happy with the way the company has been going. And I mean, there's so many things to look into. I don't think the Kinder Morgan issue has been settled. I know there's a lot of data out there that is flying, but I think there's definitely better ways to look into the situation. And also, you know, looking at some national level issues. You know, we have an election happening next year, and, you know, so many things that are a little bit unsettling. What's going to happen with the Bloc in Quebec now that they have the new party? And where are some of those votes for Trudeau going? And of course, the big one is the Ontario election, which we'll track. It's an interesting one. You know, people keep pointing to the demise of the Liberal Party, but at this stage in Alberta, the last time around, the PCs were way ahead and the NDP was in third, so anything can happen. That's what campaigns are for.
All right, thanks for taking this time.
Thank you, Ian.
Well, that's been Canby Report. Find us on Twitter and Facebook at Canby Report. Please, please, please leave a review on iTunes. We're getting a ton of great feedback. It really helps people find the show. And if we get more 5-star reviews up there, more people will find us. We might get up to those trending spots on iTunes, and then we're gold. Send us emails, canbyreport@gmail.com. We're really looking for those insider tips. We've heard a couple really interesting rumors about who else might be running. Lots is happening. We'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.